Hello, welcome to Kitchen Curiosity, the podcast that delves into people, ideas, innovation, shaping the global food service and hospitality equipment industry. I'm your host, Radford Chancellor. Today, we're stepping a little bit outside of our normal conversations about talking about equipment and technology, and we're talking about something incredibly important: community, resilience, and giving back. On Friday the 5th of June, teams across the UK from the food service and commercial catering equipment community, and I think some others, are taking part in the Six Nations Plus Challenge. It's a grueling, inspiring one-day event featuring paddling of Loch Lomond, hill hiking, and also climbing through the Kelpies up in Scotland. They're doing all this to raise funds for Maggie Centres, a charity providing free, expert care support for people with cancer and their families. So in this episode, I'm sitting down with James Connolly and Duncan Hepburn, two of the founders of the challenge, and also four of the key sponsors are here with me as well. We're recording courtesy of Blue Seal's offices. So if you hear any background noise, it's because we are in a proper commercial building. We're not on a proper studio, if you like. So please excuse that. And we're also going to be hearing a powerful story from a lady called Roisin McCarney, who's a budding singer-songwriter from Glasgow, and she's living with cancer, and she's actually done a voiceover recording for us for the show, and she's taking part in the challenge. Just a quick note that Macintosh Food Service Consultants is sponsoring this podcast, and it's our way of supporting the cause. So let's get on with the show. James, Duncan, good to see you again.
Morning, sir. How are you?
Morning, Rob.
Good, good. Made it here early in Birmingham.
Absolutely. There's been a few gear changes and a few harsh break-ins, but we're here. Thank you.
Good, good, good. So just for the listeners, I mean, people in the UK will know you both because you're quite prominent, but obviously for everybody else in the international audience. James, do you want to just give a little bit of background, who sure. You are, what you do, and yeah.
Sure. I'm James Connolly. I work for Southern Coldhams in charge of business development for the UK. I work across various sectors, including commercial catering, pharma, and special projects. And I'm one of the founders of the Six Nations Plus Community Association, which are running the Six Nations Plus Challenge, along with Duncan Hepburn here beside me, and unfortunately, Greg Archer, who can't be with us today. The challenge itself brings our industry together to raise money for Maggie Centres through a pretty full-on day in Scotland.
Right.
As you mentioned, across the Kelpies, Loch Lomond and the Cobbler.
Okay. And it's your second time to show, so welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Duncan, good to see you. It's been a long time since we saw each other.
Yeah, likewise, Radford.
So if you wouldn't mind as well, just introducing yourself. And
yeah, certainly. Yeah. Duncan Hepburn. I'm a catering design consultant based in the UK. I've been involved in the catering industry since leaving school over some 40 years ago now. And yes, met James through the catering industry a number of years ago, become good friends. As well as dealing with the catering side, we've actually been doing a lot of industry things, walking days out, trying to get the rest of the industry involved, taking a day out of the office to come and join us. A number of the people around the table here today have been on the walks with us.
Okay.
So that's how we've all come together, and as I'm sure we'll talk in a minute about why we came up with this interesting idea.
Yeah, it's a crazy idea.
Yes,
it's a very interesting, good idea. But anyway, welcome to say to the show.
Thank you.
So okay, let's start from the beginning if you don't mind. The idea of this Six Nations Plus Challenge, where did it come from? And the specific combination of paddling, hill climbing or hill walking and the Kelpies.
To be honest, Radford, it goes back a little bit further. As Duncan mentioned, in a CEDA conference, believe it or not.
Right,
that's where the real origins of that whole thing come
over
back
beer,
from.
Over beer, maybe?
It was over a quiet, a wee dram. Duncan and I and a chap called Steve Holland from Foster, having a bit of a conversation. Another guy who's sadly no longer with us, Nick Archer, who sadly passed away from cancer 2 years ago. May he rest in peace. We're having a conversation about the industry and about mental health and well-being. It was it correlated around the time when we lost, sadly, a young man to suicide at the time.
Yep.
And we were talking about how we can sort of improve mental health, and instead of spending our time having a beer and doing this, can we do other things, which led to the formation of a LinkedIn walking group.
Okay.
Where we sort of do three or four walks a year.
That's where the walking group started then?
Absolutely. They were the origin of it.
Right, okay.
And we organised as a group. Myself and Nick, we went up to the Peak District, and I think we got about 18 people to turn out with us on the first day. It rained. It rained a lot, actually, if I remember rightly, but it didn't dishearten anybody, and we sort of grew from there. Duncan and I have a bit of a history going back many years of having some late night conversations, again with a wee dram, and
it probably sometimes involves James giving me a call and say, "Do you fancy going for a walk?" "Oh yeah, sure. Well, we'll go for a walk." So we walked across Scotland, and I think 2 years later we walked across Ireland. And again, wow. Both raising money for different organisations, one based in Scotland, another one dealing with suicide for young men in Ireland. Had a lot of people behind us. We walked the width of Ireland. And I think we've both done various other charity things sort of quietly away in the background. And yes, the industry walking group sort of probably came out of some of those.
Very true.
Interesting. You can have some great conversations. A day out walking, you're walking along, your phones aren't ringing, they're turned off, you're out of the office. Yeah. And actually you can have some nice conversations with people you might meet on the way. As we said, we've walked across Scotland and Ireland and bumped into all sorts of people wondering what these mad people are doing or why they're doing it. And when they discover that we're quietly doing it for a charity in the background, they want to know how they can contribute or offer us a drink or some food or something whilst you're out doing it. So that's all sort of part of it. And we're having a nice day out.
Yeah.
Latest little caper, as we might call it. Again, James rang and said, "I think we want to do something for the Six Nations." And it was only going to be six of us. Six different nations going for a climbing the Kelpies and paddling across Loch Lomond and climbing another mountain, as we usually do. And I'll perhaps let James carry on, but a week later he rings me again.
Yeah, it was six people initially. I was going to be the Irishman. Duncan was going to be the Englishman. I had a mate of mine who's French.
Right.
There's lots of Italian manufacturers in the industry, and I thought we must get some Italian from somewhere. I work for a German company, so one of the colleagues will probably come across. And we went through all the six nations, and before having different conversations with different people, all of a sudden it was sort of six nations plus whoever wanted to get on board. And before we even sat down and decided what we were going to do, we had probably about 15 people saying, "Yeah, I'll do it. What are you doing? Tell me all about it. I want to do it." So
okay, and then kind of snowballs from there, really.
Yeah, we sort of sat down and said, "Right, okay, what are we going to do?" So, one of those daft ideas, really. It sort of got me thinking. Really, I was sitting in the chair one day, and I was sort of, you sit back in the chair, and I'm thinking, "What can we do? What can we do?" And I'd been to visit the Kelpies, which I've been quite a bit. It's a fantastic sort of monument, just outside Falkirk, and it's a monstrosity. It's an amazing structure, and I thought, I wonder what it would be like to sit up in the mouth of that horse and have a look out the top of it to see the view across to the Perthshire Hills and a beautiful countryside. And then I was thinking, I really like Arica. Arica is where the cobbler is. It's known locally in the west of Scotland as the Arica Alps because it's a village which looks like an alpine village. It's got quite steep mountains coming up directly from the loch. It's a bit crossway between Norway, the Norwegian fjords, and sort of the Swiss Alps.
Okay.
So I thought I had a key idea where I could start. Possibly we could climb the Kelpies, maybe.
Yeah.
And then we thought, will we cycle? No, it's too difficult, too tricky. And then I thought Loch Lomond, which is the bonny banks of Loch Lomond. What a beautiful place to visit. And I thought, that's interesting. So all of a sudden, I'd lined up two of my major fears straight away. And I thought, well, you know, considering, let's do this for a charity. I had an experience of Maggie's, which we will hear about later on, directly from family. And these people who are diagnosed with cancer every day, live in constant fear. And maybe, what do you call it, we should, as they do, face their fears. But we only have to do it for one day.
Yeah.
So I decided, right, okay, I'm not really fond of water, particularly one of the deepest lochs in the country. I think it's about 190 metres deep or something. It's really, really deep. So I thought, well,
sounds like a sea.
Yeah, so I needed a hand. So I picked up the phone, obviously, to Duncan. We were chatting a bit more, and with his organisational skills and everything else. In the meantime, Greg obviously is standing there, and most ideas that I mentioned to Greg, he normally throws his eyes up to heaven and goes, "Oh my God, what's he doing?" And before you know it, we had climbed the Kelpies, row across or canoe across Loch Lomond, and let's just go for a pleasant walk afterwards. And Greg said, "Yeah, what can go wrong?"
Wow. It sounds quite a feat. And I mean, So if we talk about Maggie Centres,
sure.
I know you just touched on it, but maybe get a bit more detail. Like,
yeah.
What did Maggie's do, and why, you know, why was it close to your hearts, really? What was the...
Maggie's really is a sort of a story of turning a personal crisis into a blueprint for human kindness all over the world.
Okay.
Essentially, the story of Maggie's is back in 1993, there was a lady by the name of Maggie Keswick-Jenks, and she sat in an Edinburgh hospital, a windowless hospital, a neon-lit hospital corridor in Scotland, and she'd just been told that her breast cancer had returned and that she had maybe 3 months to live. She sat on a plastic chair staring at clinical walls, and she realised something very profound. The environment where people deal with the shock of a diagnosis is often as draining as the disease itself. Her sort of vision, she wasn't just a patient, she was a landscape designer and an artist. Her husband, Charles, was an architect. She believed, and this was a sort of, and I'm quoting her, she said, "People shouldn't lose the joy of living in the fear of dying."
Wow.
Which is a very, very profound thing to say, particularly after receiving a diagnosis like that. Along with her husband, she said, I envisioned a place which was, obviously her husband was an architect. The place must be architecturally stunning.
Okay.
And it must uplift the soul. It must be warm, and it must centre around a kitchen table and a kettle that's always on.
Right.
Yeah. So a welcome space, a sanctuary where people can go and be safe. It would have expert staff, not medical staff. People don't go there for treatment.
Okay.
They go there for assistance. They go there for practical help, professional advice, without an appointment.
Right, okay.
You just walk in.
Yeah, yeah.
There's the table. Kettle's on. Sit down. Cup of tea. Biscuit. Conversation. Or do you know what? Just stay. Just be still.
Yeah. Yeah?
The first Maggie's centre was opened in 1996, but sadly, Maggie passed away. She passed away in 1995.
Okay.
The centre opened in 1996. It was the first one, as I say, it opened in Edinburgh. Believe it or not, it was a converted stable block, but it was designed to feel like a home rather than a clinic. It's a place to sort of find your feet when the world has pulled your feet from under them. The legacy, Maggie's legacy today, her cancer nurse who looked after her, a lady called Dame Laura Lee,
mm-hmm.
She heads the organisation to this day, and she supported Maggie through her the last days of her life. Today, there's over 25 Maggie centres across the UK. Internationally, there's one in Hong Kong, Barcelona, and the Netherlands.
Wow.
Each one is designed, believe it or not, by a world-class architect, including our very own Norman Foster.
Wow, okay.
Frank Gehry, I think his name is. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. Gehry, I think his name is. And another chap, a very famous architect by the name of Zaha Hadid. Maggie believed that great design is a silent partner in the healing process. And that primarily is why Maggie's, really.
Okay.
In addition to that, we've all got family, friends, industry colleagues who've all been touched by cancer, and it is unforgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just one way that we can give something back to help our friends, colleagues, relatives that have been supported by Maggie's in their sort of final days or during sort of recovery from cancer. So it's a great cause. It's one that needs our help. And something we've been happy to do. And we all know somebody that's been touched or possibly helped by Maggie's. So that's why we're doing it.
I think what you're saying there is it's more than just a centre. Like, it was architecturally designed. Yeah. It's
beautiful.
Really thought through.
Yeah. Really and truly, beautiful spaces, bright sunlight, a very homely feel, no staff-only areas, no reception. You're just basically walking off the street. All of Maggie's centres are attached to NHS hospitals. And as I say, I can't stress, they're not medic. You're not going to get treatment. You're not going to... It's just a safe sanctuary to go. And she believed that the power of now, and it empowered people with a cancer diagnosis to take back control.
Yeah,
and get back to basics and be at one with nature, you know? And that's a quite part of the healing process in terms of living, continuing to live with a cancer
with
diagnosis.
Cancer.
Yeah.
Okay, well, a fantastic cause, and credit to the three of you, really. I know Greg's not here, but the industry response, I mean, food service equipment industry, we're competitors, a lot of us. But what has it been like, the response?
It's been... I personally, I've been blown away. It's what do you call it? It's amazing how quickly the sort of industry has responded. But I think the last time we spoke, I mentioned it was we were a very broad church of competitors. We're fiercely competitive in terms of you know, business and earnings and things like that. But when a sort of cause like this comes along, it's amazing that the unity that comes from the industry and literally people picking up the phone. I mean, I can give you a prime example. I went to see a guy on the business side about 5 weeks ago in Glasgow. We sat down, we talked about Coldrums, and we talked about life, and we talked about the ups and downs and everything else, and I left him be, and he phoned me last week, a guy called David Steele from a company called West Cove Catering on the outskirts of Glasgow, and he said, are you doing this Six Nations Challenge? I've seen it on LinkedIn. I said, yeah. I said, I've got a team together. He said, oh, can I join your team? I'd love to do something like that. I said, yeah. Unfortunately, David, I said, you're a little bit late. I said, we're sort of fully subscribed. I said, I'd put you on my team, but I've already got five. And I said, I'm lucky, I said, because I'm organizing it so I can sort of have five. And he said, oh, if anybody drops out, put me in. I want to donate some money. And I said, fine, why don't you come on board and be a sponsor?
Okay.
So literally over the phone, he said, I'll throw you X amount of money. He said, and what do you call it? Be delighted to be involved. I really want to do this. And he started to tell me a story about his brother.
Right.
His brother, Jimmy Steele. If you don't mind, I'll just read you something from, it's basically from his crowdfunding page. It's sort of his words rather than me reiterate his words. In memory of my brother, Jimmy, I'm taking part in the Six Nations Plus Challenge in memory of my much-loved brother, Jimmy Steele, while raising funds for Maggie's cancer charity. Jimmy was a passionate Scotland supporter through and through. He loved everything about the Six Nations, the excitement, the atmosphere, and especially cheering on Scotland. Rugby brought him so much joy, and it's something that will always remind me of him. But more than anything, Jimmy was a loving brother, a loyal friend, and a huge part of so many lives. He had a big heart, a great sense of humour, and a way of bringing people together. His loss has left a space that can never truly be filled. I'm taking on this challenge in Jimmy's name to honour his memory and support a charity that helps people and families facing cancer. Maggie's provides incredible care and support and comfort during the hardest of times, and that's why this cause means so much to me. If you're able to donate, no matter how small, it would truly mean the world to me. Your support will help me make a difference and keep Jimmy's spirit alive. Thank you for kindness and support for Jimmy.
Very nice words. Wow.
Yeah.
And as you said, so many people are touched by cancer.
Absolutely.
By families.
Yeah.
You know, taken too young.
We didn't have a spot for him, though. We didn't have a spot for him. So, literally, as I'm on the phone, I get an email from somebody who said, oh, I think I might have made a mistake. I've got a bit of an issue. I don't think I can sign up. So I said, okay, that's fine. Don't worry about it. I'm glad you're letting us know in due course. So thanks very much for letting us know. So I picked up the phone and I said to Jimmy, there's good news and there's bad news. I said, the good news is I found you a spot. I said, the bad news is you're going to have to raise even more money. So he's absolutely chuffed to bits. He's a great guy, smashing fella. Within 24 hours, not only has he given us a sponsorship donation, but he's also raised, I think currently he's close to £2,000.
Wow.
On his own. Very, very quickly. And I take my hat off to him. He's an absolute gentleman.
Amazing.
And he said to me, why didn't you tell me about this? I said, mate, I only met you 4 weeks ago. I was there to talk to you about Coldrums. I didn't think it was appropriate to start talking about Six Nations Plus Challenge. Yeah, it's amazing. He told me another very brief story. I'll tag this on. He said to me, we started talking about how this started. Reverted back to Duncan. He heard Greg Archer and he said, is he Nick's brother? I said, yeah, he's Nick's brother, all right. Mm. And he went, he said, that's weird. I said, why did you say that? He said, my apprentice, he said, was the winner of the inaugural Nick Archer Apprentice of the Year Award at the last CEDA conference. Wow. And he said, that's amazing. Obviously, his brother's name was Jimmy, and then he sadly passed away. May he rest in peace also last year, you know. So, amazing.
Well, thank you for sharing that. That's, really... It brings it home as more personal stories like that. Yeah. So, I mean, Duncan, I think you're the logistics boss.
yes.
If that's fair to say. You know, it's going to be quite a logistical challenge, overlapping, you know, paddling the waves and this hill walking, climbing, and then the kelpies. How are you doing that? I mean, it sounds a nightmare.
It was quite difficult. We had an idea and we were hoping to get 20 teams involved. This was the idea that we came up with.
Yeah.
We went up for a site visit in January, went up for the weekend, visited all the sites, checked out all the timings between them. And it's going to be a long day. For each of the teams involved, it's going to be probably a good 12-hour day with a certain amount of travelling going on, the time taken to do each aspect. Physically, the timing, the moving of people around, the logistics around traffic issues, weather, because obviously if the weather's bad, the Loch Lomond paddle's going to take longer. Likewise, climbing the Cobbler as well, if it's adverse weather. So we've had to factor all of that in. And then being able to have the groups on the different stages at different times. So it has taken quite a bit of coordination. We have now, whilst we've got three big groups or three main groups doing each of the stages, we've also now got a slot that's only become available in the last week or so with the Kelpies. So if anybody would just like to come along and join us on the day and climb the Kelpies, we have a couple of slots available for two groups of eight to do that in the middle of the day and okay. join in the event. So if anybody else wants to get involved, and I'm not sure if it's open on the website.
A little mini challenge.
And yeah. To be fair, climbing the Kelpies on its own is a... as they call it, the Kelpies experience. If you go online, it's an amazing view. It's an amazing sort of adrenaline buzz just doing that. So that's something else that we're sort of coordinating. Again, around the logistics, we've got health and safety. We've got safety boats on the lock.
Yeah.
We'll be moving people in minibuses and coordinating all of that. GPS tracking of all the teams, because obviously we're sending them up into the mountains and across water. We've got to look at the safety aspect of this.
Of course.
And as an association that the three of us put together, we have taken out insurances and health and safety policies to cover this, because when it started out with six of us going for a bit of a walk and a paddle, that was one thing. Now we've got, well, probably there'll be close on 100 people involved on the day. It's wow. Slightly more logistically involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's all in hand. We've got a few weeks to go.
And where are people staying? Are they different hotels and Airbnbs? And
yes, we've issued out some sort of hotels. It depends where we're starting. So we've got two groups starting the Cobbler at 7 and 7.30 in the morning, with another lot climbing the Kelpies starting at 8 o'clock. And when you realise that's an hour and a half to 2 hour drive between those two locations, that all adds into the logistics. So yes, people are staying at different places. Everybody will ultimately end at the Kelpies, and we should hopefully be finished there by sort of 7-8 o'clock in the evening on the day. So from a 7-8 o'clock start to a 7-8 o'clock finish, it's going to be quite a hard 12-hour day for those.
Yeah, a long day.
A long day, yes.
But rewarding
Oh, very rewarding. To be fair, getting to the top of the mountain and seeing a view. Paddling across Loch Lomond, and even then getting up in the Kelpies and standing in the horse's mouth sort of 80 feet above the ground and looking at the view around. Yeah, they're all on their own are a great experience, but add it all together, certainly a good day out, a memorable day out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So the target for fundraising, can I ask that? What was the sort of target? Where are you with that? You know, can people still get involved and help in supporting?
Sure. Ideally, I suppose, just explain maybe a little bit wider in terms of money, because people see a crowdfund and they think, well, why isn't this a sort of GoFund or a Just Giving or things like that? We, in order to sort of run this event, we had to actually set up our own community association.
Okay.
We're not a registered charity, but we are a sort of not-for-profit community association. Essentially, the sort of ethos has evolved into, we have tried to, as best we can, through sponsorship, to actually fund and put on this event. But you can imagine the logistics that Duncan's just explained.
Yeah.
We've got to hire buses. We've got to get fuel. We've got to get them there. Mm-hmm. We've got to do all these things. Huge costs. So we tried, and we're trying still, to get as many companies involved in terms of sponsorship, or even individuals. They want to sponsor a team. They want to sponsor an individual, you know, and just become a supporter of the event. We're delighted, to be honest, to welcome the vast majority of the trade bodies on board, the FEA, CEDA, CEDA Bond, the FCSI, all the trade bodies have really It's been amazing, been absolutely fantastic. I think someone said to me yesterday, I won't tell you who told me, but he said, you guys are doing some good stuff, because what you've managed to do is to get most of the trade bodies to agree on something. that rarely happens. And I sort of said to him, what you got to understand is it's not really about agreeing to a concept or an idea. I said, this is something that's going to affect 50% of us. And 50% of us, at some stage in our life, are going to be affected by cancer. And that's where the whole thing comes back to me, is where Maggie's is so important. You know, so the finance of the event, as I say, we're trying to get it through it all through sponsorship. So then the crowdfund, the vast majority of that money will go directly to the charity itself.
Okay.
And we intend to publish accounts, obviously, at the end of the event and show everybody what we've done and how we've done it. I just want to thank Duncan and Greg personally, because the lads, we've had to stump up cash to pay deposits without funding of our own money and pay for different things.
Yeah, to take that risk, really.
Absolutely, yeah, because, you know, it's great people saying, right, okay, I want to do this, let's go. But, you know, you sort of got to put your money where your mouth is. Yeah, because, you know, sadly, money isn't everything, but it is important. I mean, especially in events like this, you need to organise them properly. Hence Duncan with his logistical skills and his organisation. Greg, brilliant guy in terms of his commercial awareness and his background in scouting, which recently awarded an MBE. Congratulations to him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in relation to moving groups of people, it's going to have to be very, very tightly controlled, as Duncan says. You know, and we've got to do it in a safe manner. And we've got a duty of care. As an association, we're not responsible for the people. But we have a responsibility to basically organise and put on an event which is fun. Mm-hmm. We all want to have fun. It's certainly going to be challenging, without a doubt, but for one day, yeah? And we're hoping that sort of everybody comes on board, you know, and the efforts that individuals make who attend the event and put in the effort to raise the money, that they see that money going directly to something. As I say, it's going to affect 50% of every one of us, really, or everybody in the country, which is staggering, really.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we're not actually charging entrance. You normally do an event like this, there's a charge to do the event. And we're not charging people to do the event, we're just asking that they raise the money. And as James mentioned before, the industry bodies and a number of the companies who are with us today, and quite a number of other companies from the industry, have got involved. And it's through their generosity that we can actually cover the costs of
the event,
put the event on, so that basically all the money that anybody who's participating will go direct to Maggie's.
Wow.
And again, thank you to our sponsors, because without their help and support, 100%.
It's a lot of time for you guys as well. I mean, that's a hell of a feat to take on and then raise all those sponsors. So,
Yes.
I suppose we've also got to thank the women in our lives, because
putting up with your texting, you know,
absolutely,
night and night.
Absolutely. Conversations and Teams calls and all sorts.
When the wife says, oh, I've just got I've got an hour's Teams call with James. She said, oh, well, I'll see you tomorrow morning then, because it's never an hour. We always disappear off a rabbit hole discussing another aspect of something. And it's been a bit of a time, but it's giving something back.
Absolutely.
And for us, that's what it is. We go and do these daft things, but we enjoy ourselves at the same time. I enjoy organising things like this. So actually to get involved and the logistics of putting everything together, and all right, sometimes it's a bit of a headache, but again, a bit of personal satisfaction from it as well. We're doing something for a great cause, and we're bringing a lot of people from the industry together who will actually, yes, they might be competitors, but as we've experienced out on the walks and stuff, you can have some great conversations with people all about what they're doing, and not really about work, just about life.
Yeah,
and
so there's an add-on to mental health benefit.
Oh,
obviously,
definitely.
Raising awareness for Maggie's and cancer, and then our industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I always remember reading a quote many years ago. It was a very eminent heart surgeon. I think he was an American guy by the name of Mr. Holland, Dr. Holland, and he said, "A half an hour's walk, three or four times a day, will do a lot more and do plenty more than any heart medication will ever do for anybody."
Yep.
You know, so it's just a matter of getting up.
I think my doctor says that to me as well.
Does he?
Pay more attention. No, yeah, absolutely. So just as we end this section of the podcast, looking ahead, what are you excited about? What's the best bit of the 5th of June for both of you?
It's probably easier to tell you what I'm not looking for, to be perfectly honest with you. Sore legs, backache. Because originally I wasn't going to participate.
You were just going to sort of...
I was going to lead the organisation.
No, you weren't, James. You always... Greg and I said if you wanted to do it, we were going to have to take a step back.
That's very true.
Or did we get in first?
Well, it was sort of Greg, really, who said it to me. He said... I'm just quoting you now, he said. Never ask anybody to do something that you're not prepared to do yourself.
Exactly.
He looked up to heavens again, and I said, right, okay, that's me, so. But I'm delighted to say as well, my eldest sister, is coming across from Ireland, and she's participating.
Oh, great, okay.
And we've also got a chap coming across from Hupfer in Germany.
Wow.
And okay. We've also got a French guy too coming in, a friend of mine, Sebastian.
Fantastic, so it's a fully international event.
Absolutely, yeah. People are flying in for this. And it just shows the unity that's out there in terms of a common cause. Our families are volunteering, is the word I was looking for.
So is satisfaction, end of the day, you know, wow, we've done it. Is that kind of...
Yeah, I think the smiley, happy smiley faces, it's always, you know, we've always said this about walks. We get to the end of a walk and everybody sits down on the wall or we nip off to the pub or... We sit down, and it's just that sort of, it's like one of those things, it's hard to describe really after an event like that. There is an enormous sense of well-being that comes over, and I think you need those moments in your life because a lot of tough times, again, you know, the reason for Maggie's and the reason why all these places have been designed with sort of health and well-being in mind is that you need something positive.
Definitely.
Something needs to come from this, and it's staggering that, and I'm just blown away by the amount of people that have come out of the woodwork, and I'm looking forward to seeing all their happy smiley faces.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd agree with that too. Seeing everybody there, everybody involved, and as I can't participate in the event, my kids have come along.
Right.
So I've got a Hepburn Associates, have a junior team, and two of my daughters and my stepson are there. The wife's going to be there as well, as long as James's partner all actually helping out on the day. And I think probably when we get to the end of the day and we're having a beer or a wee dram, the thing I'm not looking forward to is James probably saying to Greg and myself is, right then, lads.
Let's plan next
What we doing next?
Well, thank you both. And obviously thank you for Greg as well, who's not with us. I mean, for coming on the podcast and sharing the story, it's like completely different, but really important. And thank you for everything you're doing. It's fantastic. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to hear Roisin's story, which you kindly organised for us. And then we're going to go on to talk to sponsors. So thank you.
Thank you.
So it's easy to talk about logistics, fundraising targets, the physical challenge of the day, but to truly understand why the food service equipment industry are coming together, we need to talk about the people at the heart of it. Maggie's centres provide a lifeline, a place of calm, expert care and practical advice when cancer turns life upside down. And to bring this reality to life, I want to share with you the story that's kindly been shared with us. Roisin McCarney is a budding singer-songwriter, a pop star from Glasgow, and she's living with cancer. Roisin is a total survivor, and despite everything she's faced, she's taking part in the Six Nations Plus Challenge to raise funds for Maggie's. And here's her story.
Hi, my name's Roisin McCarney and I'm a singer-songwriter pop star from Glasgow. I'm here to tell you a little bit about my story and about why I'm taking part in the Six Nations Plus Challenge to help raise money for Maggie Centre. I was first diagnosed with skin cancer at the age of 24. I found a mole on my lower back and we had to remove it there and then in the dermatologist's office because they were 99% sure that it was cancerous. Once the results came back, it did prove that I did have skin cancer, but they weren't sure what stage it was at yet. So following that, it was some surgery to remove all the skin around it and find out if it had spread anywhere, which it had. It spread to my right lymph node. So we went in with surgery and they removed that as well. And because they weren't sure if they'd got it all, it was followed by 1 year of immunotherapy. This was a pretty tough year, to be honest. I was unwell for most of it, hot fevers, just really sick and not really where you imagined your life would be at 25. However, I did get the all clear and finished my immunotherapy, and that was absolutely fabulous. And then unfortunately in April 2024 I found a lump again on my right side groin, which was my skin cancer had came back. So following that there was more surgeries to remove all the lymph nodes in my right groin, and this then followed with 1 year immunotherapy. I had started the immunotherapy, but unfortunately it wasn't working, so it meant that they had to change it and that the surgery hadn't actually gotten all the cancer out either. So it then changed to 2 years of a quite intense immunotherapy, which was pretty intense at the start, but I am very, very lucky now to say that I have no cancer in my body at the moment, and I only have 4 months left of my treatment, and I am very lucky that this time I've got to live my life alongside going through cancer. Maggie's is an absolutely amazing charity. The first time I ever walked into the Maggie Centre, I genuinely felt like crying, because it's just felt like such a safe sanctuary, and when life is so overwhelming, it's so lovely to be able to go to a place and just be able to breathe a little bit. They have helped me hugely, from financially when I wasn't sure what to do next because I wasn't able to work. They were able to help me set up meetings and with the right people and try to figure out financially what was the best thing to do. They've helped me hugely mentally from just being people that I'm able to talk to that are people that I don't know, which can also help through therapy sessions. And they've also had me at free classes, you know, like for breathing and just exercises to try and help you get through the battle of cancer, because half the battle of cancer of course is your body fighting, but mentally it can be so much, and they are there to help you every step of the way. And that's just a little bit of the things that I have personally used. The what they offer is endless. Not only is it for people that are going through cancer, it's also for their friends and family that are maybe struggling with a diagnosis in the family or whatever. Honestly, it is one of the best charities, and I am so lucky to have had it and been able to use it while going through my own cancer treatment. I genuinely think I would have struggled a lot more had it not been for Maggie's. So now I am very excited to be taking on the Six Nations Plus Challenge. A little bit nervous, but just so happy to give something back to Maggie's, and everyone taking part is just so special. My name is Roisin McCarney, and the song that you have been listening to in the back of this is my own original song, Roisin McCarney, Meet Me in Montauk. Thank you so much for listening to my story.
A massive thank you to Roisin. I mean, that's a really heartfelt story of her journey and her resilience. And really, it's amazing that she's taking part in the challenge while she's still undergoing treatment. So just remember that every £40 raised helps a one-to-one cancer support session at Maggie's, and every £120 raised supports a group day. Roisin's story is a powerful reminder of the human impact behind all the fundraising. So to make an event of this scale happen, the founders had to find sponsors. And I'm sitting down with four of these sponsors. And as we heard, they're sort of behind the cost of organising the event, which enables all the participants' fundraising to go straight to Maggie Centres. So I'm going to let me introduce ourselves one by one. Phil, welcome to the show. I'll let you introduce yourself.
Hi, Radford. Thanks for having me on today. My name's Phil Coolstock. I'm the sales director for Smith Professional.
Perfect.
Hi, Radford. My name's Mark Sumner. I'm the UK Sales and Marketing Director for the German catering equipment brand Hopfer.
Okay. Hi, Radford. Thanks for having me today, and welcome all to Blue Seal. My name's Glenn Danks. I'm the UK Branch Manager for Blue Seal.
Thank you, Radford. My name's Katie Roberts. I'm a Segment Development Leader for Unox.
Welcome all to the show, and thank you for hosting us here, Glenn, at Blue Seal. Maybe, Mark, I'll just come to you. What's Hopfer do? What are you? I mean, I know, but
Hopfer, we're a 156-year-old German family business. We specialise in kitchen storage, kitchen logistics, pretty much anything with a caster. We manufacture food transportation and food presentation solutions.
Okay, and Kate as well. Welcome.
Thank you. So Unox, then. So we're a global manufacturer of professional ovens and cooking solutions.
Combi ovens and
combi ovens. So we do convection, we do combi, we do speed, and precision hot holding as well.
Okay.
Phil?
Obviously, Smeg, well known as a domestic brand, household name. So we've, for 15 years now, we've been established in the UK, selling warewashing, convection ovens, espresso coffee machines, combi ovens, and a wide range of refrigeration as well.
Okay, perfect.
Hi, so Blue Seal Limited, to all intents and purposes, is actually Moffat UK. So we've been in the UK for 40 years now. We manufacture commercial catering equipment, prime cooking equipment, convection ovens, manufacture in New Zealand, head office in Melbourne, Australia, and we're part of the Alley Group.
Okay. Dave, welcome to the show. So let's talk about, anyone can start if you like, the motivation. You know, when you heard about this Six Nations Plus Challenge, this, you know, huge event that's going to happen, what was your motivation? I mean, obviously the centres, but you know, was there a personal story? I don't know what, yeah.
If I kick off, we were actually at another industry charity event, the Feast Sports event last year.
Okay.
In the bar with James, which is a dangerous sport in itself. But James started telling me about the challenge. But I'd previously been about 3 years ago. Was it High Nick Cup or High Cup Nick?
High Cup Nick.
High Cup Nick was one of the industry walks, which was a fantastic day out. I highly recommend that walk. Fantastic scenery, great bunch of people. Really enjoyed the trek or the hike, and I think this was a sort of a progression from that. That the challenge was born from the industry hikes, and I lost my father to cancer last August.
Okay.
So this was in the September. So it was a charity close to my heart, and couldn't wait to get involved. Unfortunately, I'm actually on a family holiday, right. So I'm not competing in the challenge personally, but I'm flying in Nicholas from our international sales
team. Team together.
Absolutely. Well, Nicholas is, my ankles are screaming in celebration, but Nicholas is coming across to represent Hupfer on the challenge.
Okay.
And thoroughly looking forward to it.
Fantastic. And Glenn, from your perspective?
Yeah, well, as soon as I've known James quite a number of years, pretty well too. Knew Nick very well, who unfortunately passed a few years ago. And whenever James mentions anything, I tend to get involved, whatever it might be. As soon as he said Six Nations, I was immediately intrigued because I'm a big rugby fan. I thought, mm-hmm. Six Nations, what's the connection? And then he explained the challenge, and I just said, yeah, where do you want me to sign? I mean, you know, I wouldn't miss it for anything.
So are you part of a team? Are you put?
I'm part of, actually, with James.
Okay.
So it's all a Blue Seal team, but we're a bit of a mixed bag. One of my distributors is part of our team. But, yeah, I mean, I can't wait. But I'd never say no. And, I'm honoured to be a sponsor.
Fantastic.
I was going to say, yeah, similarly for me, I think it's been mentioned today about sort of things happening almost for a reason. I was, the day that James posted about the event, put it out there, I'd been talking internally at work about what we were going to put on the social calendar from a charity point of view, because we always try and put something in every year. We hadn't got anything in, and fate intervened and James posted, and I instantly signed up. I instantly wanted to put a team forward. I hadn't even checked internally whether that was okay. I made the commercial decision that we were doing it, and it grew legs from there, from my point of view. Similarly to Glenn, Mark, I've done a number of the industry walks with James, with Greg and Duncan, and from my point of view, we absolutely wanted to be involved.
So
we've got a team. And again, I think the nice thing is, I've looking at the teams, and James mentioned it before, this is an industry thing. This isn't about Smeg as a business. So the team I've put together, we've got a really nice cross-section of the industry. I've got Simon Lee from Specify, so we've got software involved. We've got Alex Budd from Foxton Budd, so we've got recruitment involved. And we've got Nick Salmon from Appetit Catering Solutions, so we've got service and after sales involved as well.
Quite a mixed team.
Yeah, and mixed ability. Yeah, and I think the WhatsApp group's been very much about that. And I think, from our point of view, it's all about taking part and supporting the cause. So
definitely.
Yeah. I think for us, it's about community and responsibility. It's about actually sort of showing up. You know, Maggie's support people when they're at the most vulnerable. Both as all of us personally and professionally have seen how cancer can affect families. So supporting something like this really aligns with our values. And then from our team's perspective, it's about promoting good health, wellness. And as part of a business, we want to promote that good mental health internally and externally as well.
Okay. Are you actually putting a team?
We've got two teams, yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
Two teams doing it. So.
For UNOX teams?
Yeah.
Or okay.
So, yeah,
well,
UNOX teams.
Typical UNOX style.
Yeah. Straight in there. fully on board.
Yeah, fully on board.
Absolutely.
Why not? Do it properly. So, are you having to train for this? I mean, are you training, Mark, or are you just down the pub on a Friday?
I'll be tuning in from Turkey on a
Friday
with a margarita.
Your German friend's going to have to
be margarita in one hand.
Are you sending him to train the schedule?
He's a bit of an adrenaline junkie as it is. So he read about the challenge and was putting his hand up in the air. He's looking forward to the climb, the walk, and the canoe. So.
Have you got a train or just can we?
I think training is a difficult thing. I think mentally you can train.
Yeah.
You can prepare yourself. I think, as Duncan said, the logistics side of making sure you're in the right place at the right time, making sure you're present and aware. I think that's the first thing. And then from a physical point of view, again, you said before, mixed ability. I think everyone. It's about taking part. It's not a race. It's not been designed as a race. It's a challenge we're all challenging ourselves in different ways. So I think the participation side, I know the WhatsApp group that I set up for Team SMEG was very much around Loch Lomond, and you know that seems to be the focus on the challenge. But but I think everyone's sort of...
What the nervousness around?
Yeah, I think as you say, from a preparation or a training point of view, not everyone's got a canoe, not everyone's got a loch near where they live. Yeah, it's a hard thing to train for.
It's almost like a sea, isn't it? Because it gets wavy.
No, it's going to be Lake Placid that day.
Yeah.
Let's talk positive.
No wind, please.
It's interesting, actually, and learning more about the kelp is today, which I hadn't really thought about. I mean, I suffer from vertigo. I must admit, I was quite looking forward to doing the fifth, and now canoeing, and you're saying gets wavy, but hopefully the adrenaline and everybody supporting each other.
Yeah.
And as Phil said, it's not a race, so it's a team thing, and we can all help each other to get through the day, because I'm sure we'll have highs and lows in terms of preparation. They're difficult to train. I always think taking on energy, so food on board during the day will be interesting. You've got enough food and drink, and also the weather. I mean, no one
knows
what's going to happen on June the 5th in Scotland. So, it's going to be interesting. I don't think we'll know till the morning.
Yeah.
So changeable up there, and it might be gorgeous on the 4th. And we might be hit with
hail.
You know,
prepared. A unique experience for us all to be together, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, all of us in our own individual teams, but then all of us as a community, we'll all have a laugh and a giggle on the way around. We'll all drag each other around, and then you have that huge sense of achievement when you've done it at the end. So,
It's touching on that. I mean, all of the walks, I mean, I've got to know competitors, consultants, distributors, people from all parts of the industry through the walks, and you actually meet more people this way than you do at a black tie event, I find. It brings more of it together. As Mark touched on, Feast took part last year, and I got to know more people doing something a little different than you do on putting on a dicky boat. You tend to then congregate into groups. This is more informal, you know, and it does bring a togetherness.
James is saying as well, it's, you know, there's no phones involved, so it's that real sort of quality time.
Agreed
with that. And I mean, some of you are actually competitors in the room. Competitors or suppliers or operators, and there's also some family. What does that mean, really, to you? Does it bother you? Is it good? I don't know.
In terms of the competitor aspect?
Yeah, the diversity.
No, I think, as Glenn said, the fact that we all come together, it's about the event. It's about the cause. It's about that uniformity of just, collectively together to make a difference.
Yeah, I think we're such a supportive community, aren't we? You know, we all sort of pull together, you know, when we need to, you know, and I think it's a real sort of positive thing that we can all do together, you know.
Yeah, it's great to see the industry associations all coming together as well, which is quite novel.
Yeah.
But I think we're a work hard, play hard sort of industry, aren't we? And there's great camaraderie all on the walks that I've been involved with. So I think it'll be a case of everyone pulling together and raising loads of money for a great cause.
Fantastic. Yeah. Okay. So we heard Roisin's story. You all heard it, and what a moving story it is. A young singer-songwriter from Glasgow. She's living with cancer, and she's actually taking part in the challenge. I mean, wow. What's your reaction? You know, we all listened to that. I know it's very personal to James as well, and I could see that. So what's your thoughts about that?
For me, I think whenever I've done a charity event, you have to do it for yourself, you know, in terms of that motivation to turn up.
Yes.
Asking people to donate is always a challenge as well, especially if you're doing regular events. I think the fact that it is a challenge is important, because if it's balancing a spoon on an egg on a spoon, this becomes a difficult thing to ask for people to continually give. I think James and Duncan and Greg have got exactly right, the challenge, and making it challenging without it being off-putting for people. I think it's the right balance, and I think then for me it's always about having those 2 minutes at any point during, whether it be at the start, during or after that challenge, to remember why we're there, because it'll be about having fun and that camaraderie and everything else, but for me it's always remembering why we're doing it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, very, very true.
And the other interesting thing is that people think that, you forget, that cancer affects people in the older generation, but it affects all ages.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes you forget that. I lost 2 grandparents to cancer many years ago, but and that's almost like a natural feeling, but actually it affects young people too, and it's a whole spectrum of ages. I was looking at some stats earlier, and 3.5 million people are living with cancer in the UK, cool, which is an astonishing number of a population of 60 million. 403,000 cases diagnosed annually, which is 1,100 a day, it is astonishing.
Terrifying.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. So it's going to touch people in some form, in every walk of life. So it is a fantastic cause that we're doing, and as Phil said, we're all coming together, but you know, we'll also remember why we're doing it.
Definitely, yeah.
You know, Roisin's story is so powerful and, you know, incredibly moving. You know, she is such a young person to be going through this, and such a long journey that she's having, and having that human element to the reasons of why we're doing this as well, and understanding, you know, what Maggie's do firsthand is so important. You know, as we've all said, you know, we're all touched by cancer in some way. We've all lost someone or know someone who's going through the journey or who has survived cancer. You know, and Maggie's offer that sort of such practical support that you don't really get. You know, our wonderful NHS will look after you and they'll do their best to make you better. Mm. But actually the day-to-day struggle through life is quite often forgotten about, and that's what will make you mentally stronger or struggle a lot more to cope with that treatment that you're going through. So it's so important that we support centres like Maggie's.
And Mark, from your perspective, Roisin's story, I mean, I can see you were quite moved by it, but
yeah. Yeah, I mean, the timing with the passing of my father after a long struggle with cancer, and it was sort of the month afterwards. So, yeah, just echo what everyone else has said. It's I support quite a few industry charities and events throughout the year, most of which are cancer related, to be fair, which just goes to prove, doesn't it, how prevalent it is.
I mean, Maggie's impact, so I've never been to a centre. I mean, I'd like to go to a centre now. Listening to this, I know that James has. Has anyone?
No, I haven't been. They sound like a lovely place.
Yeah, but yeah. It sounds fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic what they're doing, and it's a great effort, great cause raising funds for. So maybe a slightly different slant, but the challenge of the day, I know we talked about, like, you've got to be prepared. Is there anything you're looking forward to or not looking forward? Let's focus on looking forward to.
A burger and a pint at the end.
A burger and a pint at the
James
end.
James has promised me that. Burger and a pint at the end.
That sounds good.
Yeah, I'll take that. I think for me, when I spoke to James about which area of the challenge we would sponsor, we plumbed with the Kelpies, and I think that element of the challenge is something quite unique, you know, being quite a visual landmark. So I think, irrespective of our sponsorship of it, I think it's more the fact that it's not something that you're going to necessarily do every day. It's quite unusual. So again, like I say, I echo the fact that all elements are really interesting, but that's the one I think I'm looking forward to.
And Nicholas is looking forward to the canoe, actually. Loch Lomond is obviously a famous loch. James, can you remind us, how long do you anticipate the canoe to take?
A short crossing.
It's a short crossing.
Around about an hour.
About an hour of canoeing. Yeah. So he's
depending on the wind direction.
Yeah. Hopefully, wind behind. but he's promised to WhatsApp me from the middle. So
let's
see how that goes.
Well, it's funny actually because walking up or hiking, you think, yeah, that'd be a great event. But to do three challenges that are so different, and I'm nervous about all of them, but excited. So yeah, I'm looking forward to waking up on the 5th and putting my boots on or whatever you need to canoe, and just getting to it. They're so varied, you know. They're all exciting, so I'm excited about it, but challenging too.
But challenging, yeah.
Yeah.
And Kate, from your team's perspective?
Well, we've got good mixed abilities within the team. So we've got Tom, who's just a machine in the gym. We've got Ginger Rob, who's a fell runner. So we've got some good people on the team, and then we've got mixture abilities with everyone else. I think for me, the Kelpies is terrifying me now, because we talked this morning about harnesses and 80 feet in the air.
It's just a horse. Yeah. So, it's just a horse.
Yeah. Are you taking a combi over
there? No combi over there.
You're not going to turn up and do some food on the side or something with your vans.
Definitely not taking anything with us this time. But yeah, so I think that's... I was going to say the rowing, but yeah, we've talked about harnesses and 80 feet in the air, and now it's the Kelpies, so... It'll be good fun.
Okay. Well, I mean, again, thank you. I mean, for everybody and you know, for sponsoring it and coming on the show. Just a final word from each of you. Any bit of advice for sure, a lot of competitors are going to be listening to this podcast. So any bit of advice, Phil, you can give them?
I think I've said it internally to colleagues. I think whenever nutters like us step forward and take on these kind of challenges, it's invariably ourselves putting ourselves forward. Not everyone wants to get involved with challenges, but they can be involved, whether it be volunteering or donating. And I think I always remind people that donating can be your way of taking part, involved. So I think, you know, for anyone who's listening who's sort of not necessarily donated, who may or may not have wanted to be involved, you know, that's the easiest way for sure.
Definitely.
Show your support.
There we're planning on getting a Hupfer hydration station at the bottom of the cobbler, or as we're renaming it, the Hupfer Hill. So
my probably with a German flag.
No doubt. But my advice would be to go for the isotonic Hupfer drink rather than the Jägermeister.
Yeah.
At the bottom of the hill.
Beer.
Yeah.
I'd say, like any good Cub Scout, is be prepared for any eventuality. So the right clothing is very important.
Good socks.
And absolutely, good socks. But yeah, waterproofs, warm clothing, layers are always important. Comfortable shoes.
Punch a repair kit for your canoe.
That as well, just in case, because who knows. Yeah, be prepared, and also taking on the hub for hydration and everything. Stay hydrated. And for anybody not taking part, as Phil said, you know, it's an incredible cause. Not everybody can take part, but you can by donating.
Yeah.
And I'll do that. And it nothing at £10 each. You know, I think James quoted me numbers of the people in the industry the other day, and yeah, you know, instead of having that last pint of lager, just put your hand in your pocket and donate, and it's nothing, and it all helps.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think advice for the day then is have fun and look after each other, and it'll soon be over.
Yeah, only one day. 12 hours passes very quick when you're having fun.
And then, yeah, from a supporting point of view, you know, you don't have to be part of the challenge to get involved. You know, small donations, big donations. You know, if you want to give your coffee money, if you have a coffee every day, instead of having a coffee for the next week, you know, put that money in towards it and make your coffee at home. That would be really, really appreciative.
Fantastic. Well, some good idea. And obviously, thank you to all of the sponsors. You know, there's a small selection here today, Unox, Lucille Humphrey and Smeg, but there's other sponsors as well. And obviously a huge, again, thank you to the three founding gentlemen who started this crazy idea, if you like.
Can I just say, Radford, as well, yeah. I think from a thanks point of view, the volunteers that I know have come forward, because they're the hardest.
Yeah.
That's sometimes the hardest thing to do, is to give up your time without necessarily taking part. So I think without those, I think James and Duncan and Greg would struggle. Yeah. So I think from a sponsor's point of view, it's nice to step forward.
Definitely.
But the volunteers, definitely.
People behind the scenes, the unsung heroes.
Mm. Yeah. Exactly, which we sometimes forget about.
Yeah.
I hope you've all enjoyed the podcast anyway. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, thanks. So we're going to now ask James to come back just for 2 minutes, and then we're going to conclude the podcast. Welcome back, James. You did well sitting there quietly while you did that.
Quiet reflection.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not over labouring it, but thank you for Roisin, because that was, I think, was really powerful. Story, and I could see as well how moving and personal it is for you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's kind of over to you now to close this part.
Sure. Well, I'd just like to say, obviously, goes without saying, everybody in the room, just mention Katie and obviously, and particularly Stephen McGarvey, the MD at Unox UK. Picked up the phone to him. He was only fresh out of the wrapper into his new job. Took me call. He must have thought it was urgent. And I told him about it, and literally, he was straight on board.
Thank him
a lot. Obviously, Phil, Mark, Glenn, equally, the guys were just like straight in. There was no hesitation. And I thought, I think we're onto something here. You know, when you can get people involved, they see the message, they see what we're trying to sort of, you know, get across to people about consolidation and about collaboration and bringing everybody together under a common banner, you know. Mm-hmm. We're all different people. I think earlier I mentioned we're broad church of people. Come from all different backgrounds, different races, creeds, whatever. But it's amazing how you can get people to unite when there's one simple cause which sort of rises to the top. And as I say, competitors, forget about being competitors. Other manufacturers selling the same kit. Imagine where I'm sat in a room here with in a competitor's venue.
Exactly.
With two other people that sell ovens and sell other things. And there's no malice, no anything of the sort. It's literally everybody's just dropped their guard. And I think we've sort of put on an armour of, assistance, help and the kindness and generosity really that oozes from the people in this room, including yourself, Robert, thank you, is overwhelming at times, and it's very profound, and it has it fills me with a very, an enormous sense of well-being, you know, and I think it's something special that not just Duncan, not just Greg, not just me, not what we put together, it's what we, everybody here, the wider circle of people involved, the participants, and essentially, as Phil mentioned, the volunteers, without them it doesn't happen, you know, we can sort of put things in place, and we can say we're going to be here at 7 o'clock and can you see us there? But who's going to hand out the food? Who's going to, you know, behind the scenes, who's going to fill the jute bags? Who's going to do the email and who's going to do all those things? If we didn't have those people, this wouldn't wouldn't happen. From a perspective of Maggie's will be around and I think Maggie's will grow bigger and bigger. It has become a solution worldwide for essentially caring for people living with cancer. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it's important that you know, someone said to me the other day, where do you go from here? And I said, what do you mean? And he said, where do you go from here? I said, let me get there first. Yeah. When we get there and everybody's back under the kelpies and we have that drone shot, yeah, and the music starts playing in the background, you can all chase me to the pub. Yeah. I'd just like to say, just with Duncan obviously in the room, and unfortunately Greg can't make it today. It goes without saying, I'm very proud to call these two colleagues, industry colleagues and friends, and very good friends. I'd like to mention, I know I mentioned him earlier on, Nick Archer, who really was fundamental in the sort of formation of this this whole thing. And mm-hmm. I've indented in the back of my brain, Nick standing there going, well, mate, how are we going to sort this out? Yeah. And he'll be in my thoughts throughout the whole day in terms of, you know, I'm sure he'll be looking down on us and what do you call it, and sort of sending good vibes. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, people like David Steele. David Steele didn't just sort of arrive. Somebody sent him,
you know,
and they sent him with a significant amount of support from the west of Scotland and Glasgow generally. And as I say, I'm very proud of Duncan, Greg for their professionalism, for their support. And I do feel at times that I am standing on the shoulder of two giants, really, of men in the industry, mm-hmm. you know, and it's pretty profound.
Well, thank you. And how do people donate? Obviously, it's important for people to donate and raise more funds. What's the best way to do that?
Absolutely. Well, if you're a company, we have a website, but we have an email address. If you want to email me directly, okay. It's probably the quickest way you want to get in touch in terms of sponsorship. And if you email us at James, J-A-M-E-S, at, and it's number 6, nations, with an S, plus P-L-U-S, challenge.co.uk. And that's the far quickest and easiest way. And as I say, if you just mention you've heard us on the podcast and you'd like to get involved and show a bit of support, we'd really appreciate it. As an individual or as a member of the trade, and Glenn touched on it there in the last segment, I looked at some figures. In the hospitality trade, and that means people working in restaurants, bars, servicing, equipment, supply, delivery, there's over 70,000 people employed in the food service industry in the UK, which is an astonishing figure, absolutely astonishing figure. Anybody listening, they want to donate some money, very simple link. If you type in bit.ly, so mm-hmm. Lima Yankee, and /number 6 Nations Plus.
Okay.
So if you type in that address, it'll bring up one of our pages. And if you can go along, you can give us a few quid. We're on or around a bank holiday weekend. It's up and coming. We'll be all either sat in the back garden or sat in the pub. It's either going to be either or, given the weather. If you're in the pub and you're thinking, I might just have that last beer and I'll leave half of it behind as I head out the door, why not bother not bother with that last pint? Just stick a fiver on for us, you know. And as I say, it goes towards an amazing cause and to help people like Roisin and people like Jimmy Steele and David, you know, and stuff like that. It's very little, really, in the scheme of things.
Perfect.
But thank you.
Thank you, James. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And obviously for organising it. I mean, honestly, what an incredible episode. Completely different to what we normally cover. Food service equipment or combi ovens or racking or you know, cook lines. A huge thank you to James and Duncan and Greg as well. And the sponsors for joining me today, particularly as well to Roisin Carney for that deeply personal story that she shared with us. The food service hospitality equipment industry is built on hospitality and taking care of people, and that is exactly what this challenge is about. If you want to support the Six Nations Plus Challenge and Maggie's Centres, please head over to 6, and that's number 6, nationsplushchallenge.co.uk. That's 6, nationsplushchallenge.co.uk. where you can find out how to donate and also get in touch with one of the founders. This has been a special episode sponsored by Macintosh Food Service Consultants. You've been listening to Kitchen Curiosity, and I've been your host, Radford Chancellor. I'll see you next time. Thank you.
Kitchen Curiosity is written and hosted by Radford Chancellor and is edited and produced by Tom Anderson. Kitchen Curiosity is a Sound Rebel production.